Because at the end of the day, as far as like the nickel up thing goes, I'm a hustler. That's what I am. I know how to fucking grind. I know how to like survive with nothing. I know how to like not have to. I know how to control like my spending and shit like that. I don't need a lot of money. Like I'm a hustler. That's what I am. You know what I mean? If you took all this social media shit away from me at the end of the day and just said, hey, Mark, there's no technology left, just live in the real world, I'd figure out a way to do it. I would sell fucking hats on the side of the street. Whatever. Welcome to the Nickel Up Podcast by Wags and Jacko.
That's a good intro. I like that intro. Thanks. We're going to use that intro from now on.
I'm neither of those people, in case you're listening and wondering who the host of this show actually is. Mark Lewis, man. Massachusetts-based content creator.
Is cool.
Is cool. Yeah. That's the rest of it.
Where did the is cool come from?
Nowhere. It's like a joke, honestly. Like, I wanted to, like... I used to have, like, an Instagram name. Like, Mark Lewis's average. Mark Lewis's lame. Like, different, like, self-deprecating shit. And, I just picked Mark Lewis is cool. There's some people who think my name is Marcel, which makes no sense at all, because I'm like, one, what do you think the rest of my name says? Two, it's not even spelt like that. There's an E between Marcel. The C and the L. If my name was Marcel.
What would be like Marshall, kind of like M-A-R-C-L-E, Marshall.
Would you like a Marshall of chocolate?
Marshall Wishcool?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is
Marcel,
like,
Wiskool. I like that.
Yeah, Marcel Wiskool. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be like a South African like college student. What was I going to say?
But yeah, thanks for hopping on.
It's great to be in this fucking place.
We really needed an episode today. We are like really? We're doing this now and we're posting it tonight.
It's Monday, March 3rd.
In case you haven't, like, if you haven't realized how slow business is around here.
It's the 3rd or the 4th?
It's the
4th, and this is coming out. We're filming this at 3 o'clock today, and it's coming out at 6 or 7.
Jesus Christ.
So we're desperate.
Hope this blows up the YouTube.
Yeah, it will.
That'd be sick.
YouTube's been popping recently. We're at like 1,500 subscribers.
Yeah, he was telling me, actually. My goal is 10K right off the bat.
Okay, let's do it.
That's what I want to hopefully get to. I know we can't use like the Mr. Beast recipe, but there's some other like formulas out there. I mean, sure. It seems like you guys have it cranking on like with like the shorts and shit. So.
YouTube shorts is great. Instagram reels, TikTok. I mean,
you can monetize the shorts now too.
You
huh?
can, yeah.
Like a decent amount.
Solid. I mean, it's a low CPM, but like if you're pulling views, that's gonna be some money.
Is it better than the TikTok fucking shit?
I think it varies.
I'm in the creativity program beta right now, and that pays way better than the Creator Fund did.
Oh, way the new TikTok one?
Yeah, I got invited to the program beta like almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Way better than the other one.
The other so one talk sucked. about your content, like about how you got started, like what type of content you
so
made.
So I do just a lot of like, I would say 70% of what I do is locally based content.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff about Massachusetts, trying to insert like a Massachusetts person. Notice how I said Massachusetts, not Boston. So any of the gatekeeper, like annoying people in the comment section, fuck you. But yeah, because that gets into a whole different like semantic line where you're just like, we're not from Boston. I think both people who gatekeep Boston and people who like try and say they're from the city when they're not are both equally as
annoying. What do you mean by gatekeep Boston?
People that are like, just stop saying you're from Boston if you're not, if you didn't grow up in the city or in like one of the neighborhoods, obviously, and stuff
okay.
like that.
Gotcha. So claim Boston. Right?
Sure, yeah. That's a better, probably better term, yeah. But again, 70% mostly Massachusetts. I try and keep it varied. I have a true crime series that Dave's Hot Chicken sponsors, my biggest partner, longest standing partner. Thank you. I have like a traffic related or anything injury type related segment sponsored by Top Dog Law, my second longest tenured partner. Thank you. Great guys over there as well. And now they're both sponsoring the pod. So we have a podcast that's making money on episode one, which, unless you're a fucking pro athlete, rap something, that almost doesn't happen, I feel like, right? You guys are even a little more in touch with the podcast realm than I am.
Sure.
Because I'm learning a lot, you know, from you guys about like how you structure all this shit and everything. You guys are very knowledgeable, very smart. Clearly have this all set up the right way. I mean, I know we go back and forth breaking each other's balls and shit, but that's just the dynamic. You guys know I think very highly of you guys in all seriousness. I think you're both good dudes too.
When did you first see Nickle Up, like our stuff?
I forget, some clip on either Instagram or TikTok, and you weren't even like interviewing anybody big.
Who was it? Do you remember?
I honestly can't remember. Mm-hmm. Some guy. It wasn't. Was it maybe an older cat, like an older dude?
Yo, you know what I think it was? I think it was Mikey and Brian Peluso.
Maybe.
Because
maybe. Brian, I remember this fellow being like an older cat,
Was it in here? Did it look like, or was someone else or somewhere else?
It might have been. It was more like at night.
So it was Brian because we talked about he had
clothing brand.
He knew you.
Oh, really?
He knew your old man back from East Boston.
Did he really?
Yeah. So he mentioned you.
North End.
Yeah.
There we go.
And yeah, no, that's where he's from, actually. Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah, okay. So that's funny. I just remember that. I've never met him. Probably a good dude, from what I would assume. But
great guy.
That was the first clip I saw you guys, and I was like, "Fuck, these guys are doing shit that looks like this in this city. I gotta reach out to these guys and try and do something." Because I had this in the works, the pod in the works. I was looking for somebody to come in on it, and I'm like, "These are the guys. These got to be the guys. I got to get this going." So I just think I like how you guys operate. It's just you got a good operation here and shit like that. And how you guys do like the SEO with YouTube and all this other shit that, like, honestly, like what it comes down to, I don't even want to think about or deal with. Nobody does, right? So that's just you guys do the, why do you pay anybody to do shit that you don't want to do or you can't do, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. No, but going back to the content really quick. I keep it like I said, 70% Massachusetts-related stuff, whether it's town history, true crime, jokes. It's mostly jokes. I mostly try and do comedic shit. All subjective, obviously. The other part of stuff is, like, I'll do, like, one-off little random videos about nothing, and I'm thankful those get views now. You know what I mean? I did a whole thing about, like, the American school system and, like, how, like, some story my sister told me about what they teach in schools now, and that did, like, 80,000. I feel like sometimes people get pigeonholed into only being able to do one certain type of content. I never wanted that. I always preferred the slow growth. If you watch my page, I grow every single day. It's just at a little bit slower rate than like most people do. Like Davis Clark is at like 370,000 right now. You know why? Because he's locked the fuck in. He's ready to go and he just brings it every single day.
Get him on your podcast.
I want Davis on this podcast. I would love to rip a pod with that kid. He seems like he definitely got shit on in the beginning. Like people just like making fun of him. And then he just like stayed consistent. And once you get through and get over with the comment section, now everybody loves him. Because why? He's just like a positive person. Whether it's corny or not, I'm not going to like hate this guy. What do I care? His videos are all 10 seconds long. Like they crush replayability and they say shit that people want to like share. That it's not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's the best dressed working from home in America.
That's that too. Yeah. The other thing with him is like with the rise and fall and the growth of certain people, I have sat there and watched people smaller than me at one point blow up past me and pass me, whatever. I never cared. It's really about what you're doing with the brand you have. Doesn't matter what other people are doing. I used to get like mad and pissed off at that and be like, what am I doing wrong? Or I didn't think this person deserved it and I do. Whatever. Now it's like, I'm like, okay, because there's people that I used to look at that were way bigger than me on IG and I blew past them. Whatever. Like it's really all all that really matters in this shit is how you monetize your own shit. That's all that matters. How do you make money and how much of it do you make? That's all you should be. I'm not saying that's all that matters, but that's all you should be like concerned about as far as like security in your own brand and stuff. Because if I'm sitting here making plenty of like, you know, money to like support myself and shit like that and my livelihood, you can have an 8,000, you can have 800 million people, bro. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? But
I think, you know, like the 1,000 true fans concept. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. If you have 1,000 true people that fuck with you, and you drop a t-shirt for $50 and they all buy it. Anybody good at math right off the fucking...
It's 50 grand, Mark.
Is it really?
If you have 50 of thousands, 50 times 1,000, if you have 50 of thousands, what's that number?
Listen, enough of your shit. Okay. I've had enough of this already.
The Georgetown school system really failed you, bro.
Kiss my fucking ass, Chelmsford. I don't want to hear it. Even though I will say, Chelmsford, I told you this in private. Yeah. Telly Forum, best barn to watch in high school. Yeah, one of the best, I think, to watch like a state. Because it used to be, I don't know if you remember when you were probably a kid.
It used to be U Lowell's hockey rink.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, I'm sorry. You're right. It did.
Peel away at the paint in the locker rooms, and you could see the blue and the red under the maroon and white.
That is correct. I remember that. Yeah, but no, I was saying it used to be like a satellite location for like state tournament games.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
Still is, right? Yeah. So they still, it's like one of the, where are, Stoneham? This is a great Massachusetts trivia question for people. Stoneham, Chelmsford.
Haverhill gets them.
Haverhill does?
Haverhill's got a nice two. At least they used to back when I was playing 8 years ago.
Did they change that rink? Because I was a shithole when I was a kid.
There's two nice rinks there now.
Is there really? Okay, well, good for them.
It's like, I think Lawrence is one of them too.
Can't be. Lawrence, Mass?
Yeah, Lawrence is a nice rink right off the highway.
Really?
Yeah, I could be totally wrong. I mean, it's been a few years.
You're a Merrimack Valley guy, so that's your area. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the MV.
I played Ultimate Frisbee.
That's so fucking lame. I would, like, don't ever tell people that. Do you really?
He was on, like, the number two Ultimate Frisbee team in the country.
Where? In high school?
So, Amherst, Mass, where UMass is...
Shout out to Amherst, Mass. Shout out to Northampton, Mass.
Shout out Amherst. Shout out Northampton, Mass.
Everybody thinks we hate you guys, and like we don't. It's just a different area.
There's really nothing wrong with Western Mass.
Like, I know. I agree. It's
beautiful out there. It's, you know, good food, good people. Like, it's just different, right? All right. Amherst Mass invented Ultimate Frisbee. And Amherst High School is the best team in the country at Ultimate Frisbee. Like, you are fighting an uphill battle against that mic stand.
I don't know what you're doing over there, not to cut off Wagsy. That's hilarious to watch that last 30 seconds unfold.
All right, thanks.
Do you back?
I'm back. I'm ready.
Are you blitzed right now?
No.
Oh, you look it.
He's got the coffee.
I got the coffee.
Oh, yeah, the coffee. You're welcome for that, by the way. But you paid.
I paid for it, prick.
Continue.
Okay, so Amherst Mass.
You ripped off a free lunch from Moxie's, too.
Yeah, shout out Moxie's.
Shout out to Moxie's, by the way. Boys are on a little bit of like a food tour. We've been like kind of like enjoying like the way our lives are set up. So we're able to like eat wherever, whenever, like what time we want. And we don't have like constricted by conventional. As long as my fucking podcast is out when it's supposed to be, I don't give a fuck about whoever else these guys are contracted with.
There we go.
As long as Shut Up Mark is out when it needs to be.
We got no problems, right?
No problems at all.
Although Pastoral, though.
Place is the greatest pizza in the city. These two fucking uncultured cretins don't know what they're talking about. Pastoral's an unbelievable place. What didn't you like about it? Did you have pasta or pizza?
Pizza.
Both. You guys just don't like Neapolitan pizza.
I love Neapolitan pizza.
You like Neapolitan pizza?
I like Neapolitan pizza.
Yeah, it's not from there.
It wasn't good. I'll try it again.
You guys get like a regular like
we got margarita, a pretty like, regular yeah. pretty regular pie. We got two.
Pies. It was like mushrooms and peppers or something. And
didn't then we
one,
also get
like sausage on it.
We got some kind of pasta too.
It
wasn't good.
Like a ragu or something.
I like the tartufo one they have there.
All right, we'll go back and try it again.
Whatever. Either way, continue with the. I'm sorry. With the
Ultimate Frisbee.
Ultimate Frisbee.
So Amherst, Mass, best Ultimate Frisbee team in the country. They invented it. Year in, year out, they're always nasty. Number one in the country. Yes.
Wow.
It's controversial because New Jersey also claims it. And in Maplewood, New Jersey, where my grandparents used to live before they moved to Puerto Rico, Maplewood High School, or Columbia High School, I think it is, in New Jersey, also claim. I don't know. And then NMH, also, the boarding school in Western Mass, also said they invented it. But regardless, one of those three places created
Ultimate Frisbee. Somebody has to like know what the real answer is. It can't be this many.
I don't know.
Just spread out that don't know.
It's got to be one of those. I don't know. So like, anyways, my high school, Northampton High School, we're 15 minutes from Amherst. That's our rival for everything. And Ultimate Frisbee, we get beat by them like every year. But we can compete, you know? So like... naturally that puts us on like a national scale. Yep. And not every school has Ultimate Frisbee, but like
we'd play
like Lexington, Needham, we'd play I think Newton North, like we play
so
all these
spread
schools
out, though.
Well, no, we'd play schools in our area, but we hosted every year
like Jamborees.
No, we hosted the biggest tournament in the country.
Oh wow.
In Northampton, Mass at the Oxbow. We'd have like 25 fields set up. And my coach was the organizer of it. So we'd have teams flying from like Seattle, like Canada, like all over the world, like North America, just to come play like fucking Frisbee. And
I wish you could hit.
Huh?
I wish you could light guys up in Ultimate Frisbee.
Dude, that would be sick.
Just dudes like jumping up to try and catch the Frisbee, just leaving themselves wide
open. If you could, that would be.
Just drop the shoulder.
That would be one of the coolest sports.
I would have way more respect for Ultimate Frisbee if, like, imagine a guy just flinging the Frisbee down the middle of the pitch, middle of the field. and like you're going to defend, the guy's going up to receive, and then you drop the cold shoulder and
yeah, if you could, that would be one of the coolest sports.
You just got like Richard Sherman coming over the middle. Like,
so they do. Yeah, I would love that. They have it's like called the AUDL, and they have like professional frisbee, and they play it at like half times. AUDL,
Ultimate Disc
American Ultimate, Ultimate Disc League. League. Okay. I think so. They play it at like halftime of like football games sometimes, so like Vikings game or like, you know, some NFL game, they'll play at halftime, and it's like sick. Like people actually like to watch. But yeah, if you could light people up, that honestly would be one of the coolest sports.
So much top plays potential.
Yeah. So people just laying out. So here's the thing, the disc, everyone's throwing a frisbee, right? The disc just floats. So like you're not going to predict it like a football where it's like linear in its motion. It's going to go up and then it's just going to like sit and like slowly come down because it's picking up air underneath it. So like you have to be able to like time your jump correctly, but at the same time, you can like lead someone like crazy with like a deep pass, and like they don't have to be remotely close to it when you throw it, but then they can get there and like lay out and like snag it. It's like nasty.
I've always found it fascinating watching like the dogs go up for them.
Yeah.
How they like track it and then jump.
Dogs are pretty good at
frisbee. Snipe it. I'm like, dude, this is fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
But yeah.
No, to pivot back frisbee. To like, I guess the content thing, right? Would be. Yeah.
I was going
to
ask you about your content. Like, you've been around for a really long time. Like, you've been posting content for 10 years and you really don't see that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, honestly. It's this is like year 11. I think, yeah, I started when I was 20, going to be 21.
So what contributed to that longevity? Because you see all these guys on TikTok who post, you know, they blow up pretty quickly, and then they're irrelevant, you know, 6 months or a year later.
The sick obsession to be the best. I'm a sickly, sickly obsessed psychopath when it comes to, I never had a plan B. I never had failure as an option. I never had, this isn't going to work out. I can always go do something else. Nope, I said this from day one that I would either make it in entertainment. I consider myself an entertainer. I hate the word influencer. Fucking hate that. It's so corny. It sounds so shallow and gimmicky. Like, I'm good with that. Content creator, I can deal with. That's fine. Entertainer is what I've always wanted to be. However, I'm entertaining people through music, and that project's halfway done.
wait, what?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, I used to rap back in the day, and I am now again. I have like 4 finished songs. Yeah, it's probably going to be an 8-song EP. It'll be done.
So you're going to freestyle? I get a beat
out? No, fuck no.
No, you're going to. Right, you have to on the Nicola Pod.
No.
It's going to be like Tory Lanez, Aiden Ross.
Yeah, no.
Who needs love?
And then acting. I got a call back for this web series. I don't want to jinx it, but.
Love on the Spectrum?
No. yeah, no. It's like a web series. It's kind of like this like choose your own adventure thing that has interactive commercials and other shit. So that'll be my first actual paid acting gig. So that'd be cool. I've always wanted to be a leading man in Hollywood.
Awesome.
That's always been my thing. I've always wanted to lead a film. I've always wanted to be, you know, Indiana Jones, fucking whomever else. There's some superhero. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like some guy.
Aquaman?
Like, you know, whoever, if you give me the Aquaman gig, man, I'll figure it out. I don't know, but no, I've always that's always been my goal, is to just be an all-around entertainer. I've always wanted to be in the entertainment show business, and this is a way. I mean, yeah, it's videos on your phone, but it's entertainment. What are you watching for? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So
you talk about like the slow growth that you're purposefully okay with because it's the like genuine followers that you want. And it like allows you to create what you want. There was definitely a period of time that it like picked up and became, you know, went from just a project of yours or like just like something you were really like putting a ton of energy into to something that you were proud of and that could make you money. What did that look like? Like, when was that? And like, what was the,
you mean, what was the first like come up? The
yeah.
First big
yeah.
Video?
Yeah. Yeah.
My first big video ever was actually on Facebook, which is weird to say, but this is pre-COVID. 2018 or 17, maybe. I started doing like service industry, like comedy, because I was a waiter at the time. I was a waiter for 9 years before I did anything, made it in content. It was like a night in the life of a server, just like things set around a restaurant by like wait staff. Pretty simple. It got shared in a bunch of big Facebook groups, like service industry groups. Ended up at like 290,000, 300,000, something like that. So then I made a TikTok after me being like, no, it's like a kid's dancing app. Like, I'm not going on this fucking thing. This girl that I was kind of fucking with at the time, shout out to Kayla. Thank you. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I would not have got on TikTok if it wasn't this girl for this girl. She was like, no, you should get on it and give it a shot. So I did. My first video that ever blew up was like the fifth video I ever did. And it was something totally unrelated to what I do now. It was like a skit like Millennials in Hell in 2020, 2021. And it was like different reasons people would go to hell for like misgendering somebody, calling somebody by the wrong pronouns, and like they're me talking to other people who were like in hell before, and they're like, oh, what did you like, kill somebody or like, you know, pull some crazy shit? And I'm like, no, I like laughed at a fat person falling down the stairs on like a video. It's just like that was the genesis of the thing and how like it's been different. But then I ended up posting like different Massachusetts stuff. And that, it's funny, that video had something called a second wave, is what it used to be on TikTok. Mm. It did nothing for like 3 weeks. Then all of a sudden I start getting notifications on the app. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? The video's at like 600,000 views now. So there was that.
And this was like 2020?
Right. This happened like 3 weeks into COVID.
Okay. How many followers did you have at the time?
None.
Okay.
That was my first like pop. Sure. That got me to like 20,000 on TikTok.
Okay. From zero, literally zero, or like 500?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah, no, like zero. Okay. Legit, like nothing.
But how many videos had you posted before then?
Four.
Okay.
Like legit four. They were stupid. It was like dumb shit, like messing around with filters and stuff. Like I had no clue what the fuck I was doing.
Sure.
There was that. Then like I started doing some Boston videos, and those would get like 30 to 50,000. And that would keep going. And then I had my first million view video ever to keep like the varied content thing going on was like a movie recommendation thing on like different streaming services on TikTok. And I would go around and like give people different movies to watch.
Is that just because you knew do well?
Yeah. No, like I love film. Mm-hmm. And like I like recommending stuff to people. It was just like a thing. I was like, all right, I'll do this. It did a million in like 3 days. So that helped a lot. TikTok was also an app at the time where like you had to, it was really tough to do varied content. If you were got popped off with something, you had either really wait till something else popped off or just keep doing stuff in the same vein. Mm-hmm. Now the views are super inconsistent and kind of suck at times. But being in the creativity program beta, it kind of makes it worth it. Because if you have one video pop off, you make like 1,200 off it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
pop off as like a million views or
yeah, like I would. Oh, so like a 1200 view to your point, a 1200 view dollar video would be like a million views.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's got to be over a minute long.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You can make it like a minute and 2 seconds.
Sure.
Whatever. You know what I mean? So I save all my, I save all my long form content for TikTok now. Okay. You know what I mean?
So for you, where you've been doing content for so long at this point, what's been kind of like the transition from 9 years ago till today? Because, you know, back in the day, it was probably a lot of like Facebook, Instagram was just kind of popping up back then. But now you have these new apps. Like
when I started, Instagram had just came out with 16-second videos. Vine just came out. And Facebook had just allowed you to upload videos.
So you were kind of on like the frontier of the internet at that point. Well, like the creator economy.
Like when the pilgrims got to America, so to speak, in like content for, you know, content terms. You know what I'm saying? So
how'd you find your way over the last 9 years then?
Not stopping. Continuing to like a new app comes out. You try and figure it out. If you fail, you go to the next one. You fail, you go to the next one. I've put out so many videos that no one saw. So many. Multiple thousands of videos, hands down, and stuff that I couldn't post today because obviously like different, like, you know, tolerance, climate changes, you're canceled for stupid shit now, whatever, right?
Have you ever been canceled or like tried to get canceled?
Canceled? Yeah, this one guy tried to say that like some guy, I forget who it was, he's a writer for like the Boston Globe, some black guy, he was a fucking douchebag, he was a loser. Try to say that, like, oh, this Boston humor's played out or something like that. And then I had, like, two people chiming in. So one kid I went to high school with that I never talked to. Kyle McNichol, you're a fucking pussy, by the way. You little bitch. You were a nerd your whole life. I'll slap the fuck out of you. You're an absolute clown. Try to, like, jump in on Twitter and be like, yeah, I never liked this kid. I've never had a negative interaction with this kid in my life. Never really even talked to him. when I did, always nice to him. And me and him used to like he used to jump into my Facebook statuses back in the day and like talked like about the Bruins because he was like a big Bruins fan. So I thought everything was civil with this kid.
What's a Facebook status?
You really are old.
That's yeah, exactly. Yeah. When people used to have full blown conversations in Facebook statuses before you could reply to individual people too. So that was chaos.
Oh, I think someone was telling me about that the other day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Facebook also used to have this thing like you could poke somebody.
Yep, the pokes.
Yeah.
Oh, real.
See, I'm acting like I
will say this right now. I've done a ton of embarrassing shit in my life. A ton of shit that people would want to cancel me for. Never once have I poked somebody on Facebook. Really? I will go to my grave holding that little like, you know, like winning flag or whatever you want to call it.
Stand on business.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, I'm just happy that I never. I've sent cringy DMs. I've said stuff that sounded stupid in fucking retrospect. Like, try to spit game to a girl and sounded like a fucking clown. Million different like embarrassing things. Never poked at somebody on Facebook. I can tell you that right now.
That's a good morals.
1,000%. Yeah, I would rather look like an idiot trying to talk to a chick than do that personally. So.
So has there been any other like negative feedback besides that Kyle McChicken kid that you've talked about?
Because Kyle McChicken's a fucking hilarious game, by the way. That name, that's hysterical.
Because it's intimidating to post online, because I remember when we started posting, you know, everybody would kind of, you know, give me, you know, some shit for it, or they'd kind of, you know, compliment me, but it was very, you know, tongue-in-cheek.
So people that I used to get made fun of a shit ton posting videos now, which you can suck my dick now, just people being like, what's this kid doing? He thinks he's funny, he thinks he's an edit, like, he thinks he's, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Never cared. Never gave a fuck, because now my life is pretty much not where I'm satisfied and wanted to be. I have way further aspirations than this shitbag podcast that five people listen to. Wow. But fuck, I'm just kidding.
Six on a good day.
It's me. I'm the sixth guy.
Come on.
No.
It's not even you. You didn't know who we interviewed.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said it's not even you. You admitted you don't watch.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It literally isn't me. No, but in all seriousness, no, I mean, obviously I have greater aspirations for myself, for this crew, you know what I mean?
But you're happy. Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my life is, I'm the luckiest guy on the fucking planet. My life is great. I'm a very, very lucky dude, like very lucky. There's people that have a fucking way harder life than I do, waking up at the ass crack of dawn every day, going and bust your ass. Going home, having 2 hours to yourself, you got kids, you're married, a mortgage, you fall asleep, wake up and do it all again, you're crushing overtime, trying to make it happen. I'm a very lucky guy. Very, very lucky. I will never forget what it was like. Dude, I struggled my whole life till I was 29. And people didn't really even find out about me till I was like 30. So if you're ever worried about starting something late or not making it by a certain age, stuff, that's all bullshit. All some stupid societal construct. This ain't the 80s anymore. You know what I'm saying? There's people that make their debut in film at fucking 40-something now. You know what I mean? Samuel Jackson, I don't think he led a film till he was 46. Oprah didn't get that show till she was like in her 40s, I think. Maybe early 50s.
Do you know what nickel up means? Have we told you before?
You did. It's like a poker thing, right? Like a nickel.
No, not even that. I have a friend who kind of came up with the idea, and then he used to say it back when he, you know, was growing up, and he'd say, "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just trying to get my nickel up." He's just trying to hustle a little bit, you know, put a little money in his pocket. And then originally on the show, we only wanted to talk to entrepreneurs who were, you know, quote unquote, getting their nickel up. But a lot of these entrepreneurs, they were very successful. And then we kind of realized that there's a lot of other successful people in life.
There's also way more people who, like, aren't there yet.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it might not be the money, but they're succeeding in other ways because they're helping people or they're getting people into the gym or people's mental health are improving because of them. Mm-hmm. Or even just you. You know, you make people laugh. You know, you're successful at that. So, like, how over, like, the last, like, 9 years have you just kind of, like, gotten your nickel up? What's the progression been like for both?
I didn't make money on social. You asked how obviously like the progression of monetizing social media,
right? But then also you just said that, you know, you've told us that you work, you know, way less than the average person, and then you're not like a union guy going in crushing overtime. So talk about, you know, getting your nickel up and, you know, how you're able to get more hours back in your day.
So it really comes down to what you can. It all it, it one. your shit has to be organically watched. Buying shit, views, followers, comments, it shows. You can't fool anybody. I can run your profile in 5 seconds on 2 or 3 different sites. Find out your audience quality like that. You'll be able to pull the wool over people's eyes to a certain point, sure. You're going to get to that threshold where, nah, it ain't going to work past this point, right? It's so much worth it. That's why I said I take the slow route. You cultivate this real thing by being a real person, not some fake fucking act. You know what I mean? Granted, there are certain accounts where, like, you know, people be playing a character or whatever. That's fine as long as it's something that's, like, clearly distinguished. You know what I'm saying?
You know who's good at that? Nikki Cass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, when you hear Nikki talk, he doesn't have that, like, hey, come on. Yeah. Rizzo, let's see you swing the bat right here. Like, he doesn't actually
talk. Degliano.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Is he an Italian kid from New York? Yeah, but, like, when you hear him talk, yeah, he sounds like me. Yeah. He's not like some, hey, oh, what? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And, but it's intentional. He intentionally
of course, his
does
whole
that.
Thing is character work. Yeah, yeah. His entire brand is character work. He's an actor. Like, he's an actor. That's what you do. You're playing different characters. He's writing his own shit. Nikki's very talented. You know what I'm saying? I really hope he continues to... Well, by the way, congratulations to him for reaching 1 million. He finally hit 1 million yesterday, the other day. Really? So, finally hit 1 million. Good for him. That's a kid who deserves it. He's awesome. And I'm not the type of guy, by the way, to just, like, blow smoke up your average person's ass. If I don't think you're good, I'll tell you. Like, I you will never know where you, like, not know where you stand with me. I also think that, before I get to answering the rest of this question, 85% of content sucks that you see on the internet. 85% of it sucks. 85% of it has no staying value, no retention power, no anything. Nothing residual, nothing.
It's well, I think it's probably there. Closer to 99.
Maybe.
Because think about the content. That's that you see, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, about, right, yeah. Yep,
if you think about the content that's posted, it's like 99.9%. It's like 0.01 that's actually like, A, gonna like you're going to see, and then like 0.1% of that that's actually valuable.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're probably right, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's like so much and it's junk.
so much bad shit. And my... So... as far as like how I've been able to like monetize and stuff like that, my first paid gig ever on social media was during COVID. This app JobGet was paying me $50 to post like job ads on TikTok, not knowing back then that like that was such a like a lame duck idea and never gonna work based on the algorithm. But nobody knew anything about algorithms. People still really don't know anything about algorithms. I would say, you want to talk about percentages wise, maybe 5% of people in the social media world understand like algos and how to get things seen and like organically, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, anyone that says they understand the algorithm,
they don't. So that's the other thing about Nickel Up or anything like that. So much of this shit is luck. Me making it in social media at the end of the day is me creating my own lottery ticket, putting it on the internet and hoping it hits thousands of times. That's really what it ends up being, to be honest with you. You're like an actor. You're just waiting for that one audition to hit, and then you hope
you
can
like engineer it and like play. Like you can do things to like increase your chances. But
yeah, like listen, you could like if I was anybody, really honestly, I would start short, try and get your replay time up. That's one thing algorithms are always going to value. You know what I mean? Attention. The shortest video I've posted in the last 2 months, ready? 3 months, maybe even longer. Is this fucking, you know, you're from like, I'm from Massachusetts. Of course, I'm a piece of shit. We're about to hit 1 million in probably a couple days. Said 800,000. It's a 6 second video. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's what's gonna, you don't have to do like, you know, National Geographic nature documentaries right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? But I went from that. And then I started actually, I took a whole year really, or I shouldn't say that, maybe like a summer, half a year, 6 months to like manage and build social media accounts for people. I did it for a card shop up in Peabody, this place called Fresh Poles that I'm obviously no longer affiliated with, never will be again. this pet shop in Stoneham. and somewhere else, and I would just charge like $1.50 a week to come in. I would film 7 videos. I would have all the accounts on my phone, and I would database 7 videos, save them in the drafts, and post one a day on each thing, and my work would be done in like, I was making like $700 a week doing that. Because at the end of the day, as far as like the nickel up thing goes, I'm a hustler. That's what I am. I know how to fucking grind. I know how to like survive with nothing. I know how to like not have to, I know how to control like my spending and shit like that. I don't need a lot of money. Like I'm a hustler. That's what I am. You know what I mean? If you took all this social media shit away from me at the end of the day and just said, hey, Mark, there's no technology left, just live in the real world, I'd figure out a way to do it. I would sell fucking hats on the side of the street, whatever. It's a really weird, like first stripped down, like job. Yeah, you would say, I could say shine shoes. Well, why don't we sell some hats? Nice mobile haberdashery. There you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What was your next?
So what's the newfound success been like then? You know, you've never... Awesome. Yeah, because you grinded your whole life, then you've made it very clear recently that you don't really have to grind anymore.
You do, but you do.
Your 1 hour work week, we were kind of, or 1 hour month, we were talking about.
A lot of personal information being thrown out on the podcast right now that I did not sign a waiver form for. On a side note, in all seriousness, I do absolutely. I'm grinding in a different way now.
Yeah,
like
not taking anything away. From
Either. I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying like. The sweat out of where money is coming from and that type of thing, not knowing how long it's going to go for and shit like that, that's pretty much over with for right now, which is, thank God, it's just one less thing you have to worry about.
Well, that's like the whole thing when you like if you want to like look at it like a traditional business where like you build a company, you're a CEO and you're putting in like way more than overtime at the beginning and you're not seeing anything from that, or you're seeing very little. And like, if you look at the hourly wage or like whatever, it's nothing. And then when you're the CEO of like a, you know, public company, you're probably putting in way less work, but it's more just like administrative tasks. You're like, understand it. So like, it's easier to actually like just do a task, and you're being compensated way bigger for like, you know, you can't even look at it like hourly anymore.
No, it's more I don't have like an hourly.
Yeah,
no.
It's just like
this job has nothing to do with hours.
Yeah.
You're working all the time.
Yeah.
You have to be ready to film something at all times. Content, and the eye for content is a muscle, dude. You have to be able to see things and be like, how can I make this funny? How can I make this like accessible to people? Like, what can I do with this? So that's a big part of it, you know? And but like I said, the peace of mind financially is in a great place, and I'm very humble and lucky, like humbly lucky and thankful for that. You know what I mean? So, but it's taking things to the next level that might even be a little bit harder, but it's fine. You know what I mean? Not being able to, not having to worry about other stuff that I had to worry about for my entire adult life, 11 years is, you know, 12 years is very nice. It's nice to finally take a load off a little bit, you know?
And is the podcast that you're starting, do you think that's the first step into taking your brand to the next
level? That's the next thing for me. Yeah. That's going to be the next content thing for me, for sure. I think we have 2 really nice episodes database so far. I think we have a big one coming up Sunday. And then our first athlete next week as well. So that'll be good.
He's come up on this podcast before, actually.
Matt Bonner came up on this podcast just for no reason at all.
Yeah. Well, it's a very specific reason. Can you guess the reason?
He hasn't watched our pod, dude.
No, I'm asking him to guess.
Shut up. It has something to do with Isaiah.
What's unique?
It has
No, it's not Isaiah.
It's not?
No. What's the reason? What is a unique thing about Matt Bonner?
He's got red hair.
Yeah, that's why. Because we had Otto Landrum on. Do you know who that is? He's a BU basketball player. He went viral because he's this white kid with white ginger kid with a mullet, and he was like dunking on people and shit. And we had him on the podcast because he had this super viral like video, and he was like, "Yeah, I used to love watching Matt Bonner when I was a kid because I wanted to watch a ginger play basketball."
He also grew up a Spurs fan.
Yeah,
too,
he was a Spurs fan too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he a Texas kid?
No,
he's from Colorado.
That
makes sense. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be a Nuggets fan.
But I think Matt Bonner was a reason.
I think he was the reason why he's a Spurs fan.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That's like a way different connection than people usually see. Like, oh, this other guy with red hair, like definitely want to like see what's up with this dude.
Yeah.
And Matt Bonner, like, got buckets. Like, he was a great player for the Spurs. He was, like, a perfect role player off the bench. Sure. Dude, I think he has 3 rings. Because they had, I think Duncan has 5. I don't even think Manu Ginobili has 5. It's Duncan has 5. Yeah, Duncan's got 5.
You started talking about rings on a different podcast, and you were wrong, so...
What was it? What other podcast?
The one you did with RA.
What did I say about rings?
We're talking about... I forget the guy's name. We were talking about the Devils, remember?
Oh, the Brendan Shanahan one?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought he won one in 95 with the Devils or whatever, with that Claude Lemieux team. That's my bad.
No, but I think yeah, I'm excited for Shut Up Mark as well, and I think, like, I want to ask you, like, because obviously you reached out to us and... saw that when we were talking about that earlier.
Bless you guys with my presence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Something like that, I guess, like that. Right?
It's, you know, really a godsend into your life at this time.
Yeah, I know. It was
dark days in here. I walked in here. There was no electricity the first day.
There was no electricity.
Now look at these lights, baby.
Yeah, look at the lights.
You know what I mean?
Pretty bright. Big time.
But what was it about?
Card at some point.
What was it about? What was it about podcast as a media format that, like, caught your eye and that was like, I want to do this. I want to invest my time, my energy, my efforts, my brand into this.
It's a different muscle to flex. Like, the interview process is cool. I don't like, I when people, like, try and get too technical, like, he's a great interviewer. It's like, listen, you just ask shit that you think would give an interesting answer and you just let the person talk. That's it.
Shut up,
Mark. Like, it's really, yeah, that's it. The name of the podcast is supposed to be like what I'm doing during the entire show. It's basically just shutting the fuck up and let people talk that I think would have something interesting to say. And when people are like, his interview skills are super, like, what do you mean? Like, what does that even fucking mean? Like, just ask something interesting. Try and keep the questions not generic. Where are you from? And how did that shape you into the person you are today? It's... like, whatever, right? Like, note that I've heard this 1,000 times. And just try and ask something unique, something that people don't usually hear about these people. You know what I mean? So I think that's what sets you apart from anything. Anything you try and do content-wise, you should try and be different. Don't be different just for the sake of being different, but try and look at something tangible and be like, what's the alternate route I can take to get here? You know what I mean?
So how are you going to stand out? Because we're always getting comments like, oh, not everybody deserves a podcast. Podcast equipment should be more expensive.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, you should have to, like, apply for an Apple, like
this
a permit
is, we got
for
one. It was this is definitely one of the podcast clips of all time.
That's fucking...
No adjective.
That's funny. I got to give that guy, whoever left that comment, that's kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
How are you going to differentiate yourself? Because everybody and their mother has a podcast.
I'm not going to differentiate anything. I'm going to let the guest and conversation speak for itself. I'm not reinventing the interview wheel.
Sit there and shut up, Mark.
Pretty much it. That's what I try and... I try and be a guy who's knowledgeable enough to talk about anything. Knowledgeable, not an expert. Just knowledgeable, you know what I mean?
You're wrong a lot.
Yeah, like when? Do you think I was last
I mean,
time
he
I
just wrong? Brought up an example.
Restaurant opinions.
The brand.
Restaurant.
First of an opinion is never wrong. Second off, that's like the most trivial thing.
Opinions,
like I
no,
said, like
opinions
America,
are
like,
also,
the
also suck at math. He goes, what's 50 times 1,000?
Relax, Captain Bitcoin. I don't want to hear it. Your entire life is math every single day. Like, if I sell for this,
I didn't,
my
Mark,
options.
Mark, I didn't like, barely did school, and, like, I can figure that out. Like,
yeah, that's great. Right. You know what I'm focused on being right now? Entertaining. You know what I'm not focused on? Math.
That was entertaining. Honestly, that was entertaining.
And it was still entertaining, ipso facto, in a roundabout way.
It's like laughing at the dumb kid.
We'll put a laugh track.
Yeah, exactly. Just me and my dunce cap sitting here with the, how do you call it, in the corner. I just moved the mic. No, you don't. You try and just give people something interesting to watch. That's it. Something interesting to listen to. And that comes from having some kind of, like, you know, idea of what you're talking about. Again, I'm never going to sit there and act like I know more about something that... Am I going to sit there with this guy, with Phil Tringali on Sunday and be like, well, are you sure the Germans weren't fucking... you know, on Munchausen Beach that day, like, what am I going to tell this guy about anything? You know, a guy lived through it, survived.
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and you try and just ask the right things to get the stuff out of people that everybody else is going to find keep it entertaining. That's all it is. All you try and do is just create an entertaining.
Honestly, you know, for you, like, the stupider you are, the more entertaining it might be.
Sure.
So, just food for thought.
I know. Maybe I'll just invite a rocket scientist on next time.
And a note from the producers.
How does the rocket fly? And then that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Or a fourth grader, and you just read them a multiplication table.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, 50,000 is 550 times 1,000. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, Jimmy. Just get off my fucking set. What was I going to say, though?
Who should listen to your podcast?
Fucking everybody. What do you mean? Literally everybody should listen to my shit. I think I'm very entertaining. I think this is going to be a good pod. I think we've had two good ones already.
Yeah.
The RA one was good. Steve's a different kind of, like, it's going to be a different sort of world that people don't really, like, see a lot with the bodybuilding and fitness industry. Mm-hmm. Something Wags is very, very involved in. You know what I'm saying? Once the camera pans over there, you're going to see this physical specimen sitting right here with the, with the hat on. By the way, shout out to the Halftime Pizza Boys revamping their merch. I can't stop looking at the hat. It's so sick.
We don't do free promo, so we're going to
have to cut that out. Well, here's the thing. I do. So, shout out to Stanza del Cigari, the old cigava.
Shout out to Nike.
Yeah, to Nike, too, exactly. Yeah. No, and these Primark shoes, by the way. $11 never got further in my life. Dead serious, that's how much these are.
That's crazy.
Yo, Ronnie Feig, come on the show. Ronnie Feig.
Kith.
Yeah. Is it Kith or Keith?
Kith?
Kith. Sounds like I'm asking for a kiss, but I have a lisp.
Yeah.
Give me a kith.
Hey, baby, can I have a kith?
Can I have a kith? You know what I mean?
It's Mike Tyson asked for a kith.
Yeah, that's what it is. I wonder where they got that name for.
Well, I mean, it means friends and family.
Yeah, it's like kith and kin.
Kith and kin.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't
see, again, that. You're fucking dumb and it's funny.
Okay, first off, kith and kin. I don't speak fucking Gaelic, bro. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about with this stupid shit. Hey, it's kith and kin, lad. You didn't know what it meant? Like, you know, suck my ass. No, but... Yeah, anytime I do something new, I try and put myself... You want your brand to be you. Say this all the time to people. Like, you want your brand to be you. Not just, like, Boston content, and you just happen to be the guy reciting the lines. People have to watch your shit for you. If people like you, they'll watch anything you do. So, that's where a lot of my... What's, like, my triangulated, like, focus ends up going with content and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Where do you see your podcast going, let's say?
Straight in the tank. Just done. Maybe 5 episodes. Chalk it.
2 episodes, honestly.
2 episodes, honestly. 3 left. Sorry, continue.
You know, let's assume that you're able to fool people and, you know, they continue to listen to your podcast.
To buy into this bullshit.
Exactly. So, yeah. Let's say that 6 months from now, you know, at the end of the summer, where are you going to look back and say, hey, I'm happy with where we're at?
I'd like a strong YouTube presence. Strong is subjective. I'd like a YouTube presence is the best way to put it. Our sponsors are happy. Our views are healthy and our interactions organic. And I'm happy.
About to go buy some followers.
Yeah, we got to get really... Yeah, I'm going to take everything that I make sponsorship-wise off this podcast and go write an artificial, like, interaction on social media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got a guy for you. Shout out Magic
Shout
Man.
Shout out Kareem.
No, Kareem? Magic Man. Who's Kareem?
And I just made up a random guy you would find on, like, Fiverr.
Fiverr?
Is it Fiverr or it's Fiverr, right?
We should do, like, a Mark pronounces, like,
the, no, the people... No, because people I used to work with used to be like, yeah, go on Fiverr and find somebody. I'm like, the whole purpose of this app is, like... You can find people to do shit for $5, like around $5. It might be some person in Pakistan in a fucking cave in a mountain, but
yeah,
still find it.
In a cave in a mountain.
In a cave in a mountain with Wi-Fi.
And get him on the podcast.
Exactly, get him on the pod.
Sharif, so you're a dude in Pakistan in a cave in a mountain. What's that like?
Yeah, how's it been there? You know what I mean? A lot of bats. You guys have traveled, right, a lot?
We have.
It's the worst place you've ever been to.
Hako.
No.
What?
Worst place I've ever been to.
Where you're like, get me the fuck out of this joint.
Honestly, it might have been what I was talking about earlier, Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge just fucking sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Shout out to the LSU people.
Shout out Livy Dunn. Burrow.
Shout out to Big Liv. More shout out to Joe Burrow.
Joey B.
Yeah, definitely. I would much rather hang out with Joe Burrow than Liv Dunn.
So, I think if I get the cut a little bit done nicer, I could pull off the Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But that's relevant.
In the sense of, like, I burrowed under the ground. and I now live in a hole.
Sure.
That type of You know of what?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because the B-U-R-R-O-W, that's all.
I like
the B-R-R-E-A-U-X is that's also tough. Joe Burrow.
That's tough. That it was is. That was that one of the coldest college
definitely
sports.
Definitely one of the that might be. No, that is. I think it's the.
It's him running out with that jersey.
And the Joe Burrow.
Like, and then he throws for however many yards, and then he comes back and he smokes the cigar.
$8 million. And he's fucking handsome. I think if I was going to, if you were going to switch places with any athlete right now, who would it be?
Definitely not Caleb Williams.
Okay, that's fair.
Henry Riggs.
I was just saying.
Jesus Christ.
I was just saying.
Bob's going so well.
I was just saying, I think it'd be sick to be like a very like O'Shane Brissett on the Celtics. Shout out to O'Shane Brissett because he's like a photographer and he seems like a cool guy. If you ever want to come on the pod, you're always welcome.
That's not an athlete, bro.
Yes, he is.
He's on the Celtics.
He's on the Celtics.
Oh, I thought you said the photographer for the Celtics.
No, he's on the Celtics, but he happens to also be into photography and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Vlogs. I thought you meant he was the Celtics.
But I think like a guy like that is nasty at basketball and a professional athlete and making millions of dollars, but also just like can go out to dinner and not like be like bombarded, like would be so sick. If I'm actually like swapping lives with them, and like I want to live their life, someone like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. Like maybe for me, being a hockey guy.
Yeah.
I think like Matt Rempe right now, the whole story of him is just so sick. Like his dream was just to play in the NHL. He knew that he wasn't gonna be a goal scorer, and he had to do literally whatever it took to get there. And you know, he got to the league by fighting, by playing physical, and then he gets there and then he drops the gloves in his first shift of his first game. He's played like 7 games so far. He's fought 4 times.
He's kind of like must watch TV right now.
Dude, yeah. he's
bringing fighting back to like the forefront of the NHL.
Because
all
these heavyweight guys, they're coming in and they're like, yeah, who the fuck's this kid who thinks that he can, you know, just drop the gloves with everybody? I'm going to show him up. And then even Reeves, you know, stepping in there, he couldn't really, it was a good fight.
I thought it was an even fight with Reeves. I mean, he got the worst of it with Olivier. Olivier's a tough dude.
But I thought he broke even
with Matt Martin. I thought he broke even with Delorier too. Like
Matt Martin was like such a cool story when he was like, "Hey kid, like you want to go?" He didn't go up. I think Reeves kind of went up to him, and Reeves was like looking for a fight because if you saw earlier in the game, Rempe said, "You know, not right now," and people were booing him. But Martin, in his first game, that was his first fight, he was, "Hey, kid, you know, whenever you want to go, I'm here." And he goes, "Let's go right now." Because it was his first shift, and he just wanted to get the jitters off him. But
I think Rempe's on his fourth. Rempe, whatever the fuck, whatever you say his fucking name.
It's Rempe.
I hope he, like, stays in the NHL. Because, like, the kid from the Canadiens, Jack Eye, he's, like, up and down from the A to the NHL. And it's like, I hope he can just, like, we need these guys to, like, stay in the NHL. And, like, keep it interesting. Fighting needs to come back to the forefront of hockey. Physicality needs to come back to the forefront of hockey. Nobody wants to watch this skill camp bullshit unless you're, like, one of these little kids trying Michigan's and Pee Wee games. And you just grew up in the USA hockey era of soft bullshit. This game is hockey's a violent, physical man's game.
USA and hockey so soft that I could hit my first year of peewees, couldn't hit for your my second year of peewees. And then I could hit again my first year of bantams.
It makes no sense. They're the stupidest fucking people on the planet.
That should have been
embarrassing.
A
and all you're setting kids up to do is get hurt. All they've tried, they're like, "Oh, we're trying to take concussions out of hockey." Like, listen, it's a violent sport. Shit happens. If you want to penalize hits to the head, sure. Totally fine. That's fine by me. But, like, when you're sitting here trying to water down the game and turn it into, like, a skill-based game, no. There's always going to be some guy that'll cross-check a kid in the fucking teeth. And you got to have some answer for it. And you can't have these kids just skating with their head down and getting cleaned out by somebody that knows how to hit.
My
joke.
My dad used to say that, you know, if you're a mite, okay, you're 6 years old, you're 50 pounds, two kids colliding with each other, they're not going to get hurt.
No, they're not.
They can't skate fast enough. They don't weigh enough to actually get hurt. But it's going to teach them how to take a hit, which you can take on to the next level and the next level. And then when a 50-pound kid becomes, you know, a 125-pound kid, you start, you know, hitting puberty and you're playing against basically grown men. That's how you're going to know how to protect yourself. And if the whole theory that why USA Hockey doesn't want to allow hitting is to remove injuries. I think that the best way to do that is to just protect kids from, you know, teach them how to protect themselves from an early age.
You have to know how to, like, roll off a hit, how to, like, position yourself in the boards, lower your, like, pad level if you have to, and kind of duck down. You're going to chip a puck in. Sometimes you have to take a hit to make a play. The best you can do is, like, minimize the impact, dude. It is what it is.
What athlete are you taking?
Man.
Switching lives with them. Who are you taking?
It's hard not to say Leo Messi. It's tough not to say Messi because he's just, like, the greatest soccer player of all time. He also has, like, 500 million followers on IG.
You know what would be a cool one that I just thought of? Ollie.
Yeah, that'd Ollie be fucking, would be sick.
That'd be pretty fucking sick.
I mean, well, he had Parkinson's disease and died. Talk about right now, bro.
But, sheesh. Like, in terms of, like, the just, like, the
yeah, Ollie prime was the man for a, like, while. Yeah, yeah, no, he was the man for a while. I don't know. It would have to be somebody. I mean, like, it's hard not to. I know Tom's, like, the greatest American athlete of all time. But, like, to be
his,
like, to
family
be,
life
to
sucks
be,
though.
To be Michael Jordan, dude, would just be, like, the craziest, dude. Like, your prime is the 90s. It's still the golden age of basketball. Like, they're the biggest team in the fucking world. You're playing exhibition games in Paris. All the drama that happened with the team. The Last Dance, by the way, is the best sports documentary I've ever watched in my life. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it.
Dude.
I need to.
You guys need to watch it tonight. It's so fucking good. All right, it's on, like, Disney Plus or some shit, whatever you have. ESPN Plus, I don't know. But it's all about how, like, their team in the 90s was just crazy. And they just kept winning titles. It was fucking nuts. But right now, you know who I actually think I might take? Even though it's tough. I want to take... I'm a hockey guy, so, like, McDavid would be so sick. But... John Jones.
Yeah.
You wake up every single day and know that you could fucking kill 99.9% of human beings on this planet.
If I'm going MMA, I'd probably go, like, GSP.
I love GSP. I'm, like, the biggest GSP fan ever. I fucking
love
that guy.
You also have a big coke problem for John Jones.
There's been a lot of shit outside the octagon that John Jones has, like, dealt with in his life that I just would not want to deal with. GSP is just, like, a fucking dope guy.
Yeah, he is the fucking man, dude. He's just a legend. I loved him. He was my favorite growing up.
Like, a guy like Rory McDonald. Like, that would be pretty sick.
Rory was a badass,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, that's, like...
Rory was a bad motherfucker, bro. He left high school at, like, 15 to, like, just go fight.
Just to go beat up grown
man.
Just
a fucking animal. Yeah, no, but I think it might be John Jones.
All right.
Bro, think about it. You're a 6'4", 250-pound guy.
Two brothers in the NFL.
Two brothers in the NFL. One of them is, like, CTE'd to death right now.
Yeah.
But, like, then it's, like, it's not even, like, you're, like, a dude, like, you're the toughest guy on the fucking planet, sure. Bro. Nobody can say anything to you.
All right, we'll, like, go with that. John Jones, you hit it here first.
I think I'd be John Jones, yeah. I think I would be John Jones, right. Bro, dead ass.
There we go.
What else is on your mind?
That's it, nothing else.
Nothing else.
That's actually it.
For the rest of the day?
I think that's it.
I got one for you, actually.
Yeah, hit it.
I think we're gonna...
If any Boston sports team could win a championship...
I like this already right now.
Like this year. So let's say, you know, Bruins and Celtics this summer, next Super Bowl for the Patriots, and this October for the Red Sox.
The Bruins.
Me too.
I need the Bruins. I need it.
Me too.
I need it. I'm losing faith in that locker room. I'm losing faith in our veteran leadership. I'm losing faith in Jim Montgomery. Oddly enough, I have kind of the most trust in Don Sweeney that I ever had. I just don't know where. I didn't like getting rid of Bruce Cassidy. I don't like that it feels like the players control the room right now. I don't like RD. If I'm going to pick a team to win, don't get me wrong. We need like playoff baseball and playoff football back in this sports market. We do. Like, we just do. I need a Patriots playoff game. I need something. We need these postseason runs, man. I don't think the Bees have enough to win a cup right now. They got to make a trade at the deadline. I would trade Ullmark.
Yeah, I would too.
Absolutely. I would look at somebody like Noah Hanifin. Sorry that I'm geeking out on this right now, but, like, sports is my life.
They can't afford Hanifin, though.
Yeah, they can. What do you mean? Contract wise?
Yeah.
We have so much cap opening up next year.
Well, next year, but this is this year.
The cap, yeah, the cap also goes up. Dude, Allmark makes $5 million a year. What are you talking about?
And what's Hanifin making?
5.5.
Okay. Hanifin. Allmark makes 5?
Yeah. He signed a 4-year, $5 million contract. I'm almost positive with the Bees like 3 years ago. Look that up. Do you guys have any other Massachusetts shit for clip friendly shit?
Holy shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. Allmark makes like $5 million a year.
He does.
Yeah, he gets paid pretty fucking well for a goalie that rotates. You know what I'm saying?
Give me your...
Hanifin makes less than Allmark.
Yeah, what's he make? Like 4.7, 4.8?
Yeah, 4.9. Like it's 4.95.
Yeah, right. So they essentially make the same fucking money, right?
Let's see Massachusetts-wise. Let's go...
Best chicken spot.
Oh, I mean, that's Dave's.
Dave's.
Have to be.
It is. Dave's.
Sorry,
is
we needed to plug Dave's and Al, and Dave's Hot New England, by the way. It's for Al right there.
Shout out Manchester, right?
Shout out the most profitable Dave's Hot Chicken in the history of the company. Shout out to Manchester, New Hampshire for that. It is now the hub.
It's the hub.
On the East Coast, at least, for Dave's, which is pretty cool.
No, I'm saying, though, let's go top five steaks in Boston.
Steaks. Okay, I like this. Number five, I am going to go with... Oh, man. I'm going to put Abe and Louie's at five. I'm a huge steak guy, so this is going to be a big one for me. Boston's tricky because I had a couple outside. Whatever.
Massachusetts? Yeah.
Okay. Number four is going to be...
You can't do like Moo Burlington and Moo Seaport, though.
What? No, I know that. I'm going to change this also. Fratelli's going to be number five.
Let's go. Top five steaks in Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah. Fratelli's going to be five in the casino. Number four is going to be who I just said. Who did I just say?
Abe and Louie's.
Yep. I'm going to put... shit. What is their name? Oh, fuck. Moo is number one. The American Wagyu cap steak is the best steak I've ever had. I can't put the tomahawk there on here, can I?
You can put that at number two.
Okay, sure. The tomahawk is going to be number two. Number three, this is going to be different because it's going to be a steak with sides. So your non-conventional steakhouse steak where there's usually menu items a la carte. I am honestly going to go with Moxie's. I think that ribeye with the two sides for $66 is absolutely worth it. Moxie's is going to be number three. It's underrated. It's not like a steakhouse, but go and try it for the price, the
Pablo.
Sides you get.
Huh? Just for Pablo, right?
Yeah. That was his name, Pablo, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he's a great chef. Chef Pablo Melendez.
Yeah.
Straight out of Honduras.
Yeah, he knows how to cook a steak, apparently. He does. Apparently.
Yeah,
he does. Allegedly. No, I can't say.
No, their steak is, like I said, it's on there for the price point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is a big deal.
I mean, if it's good, that's a good deal right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it is. It's for a ribeye, I'm telling you, it's like a good steak. It's not the best thing you ever had in your life, but for the price point, the thing, all that other shit. Do you guys know anything about like nightlife and bars, maybe? Clubs? I don't know. It's up to you.
I don't know. Okay, recommend what...
Oh,
as a newly 21-year-old guy in Boston, what's my summer going to look like? What are some spots I got to go to?
Your summer, if you just turned 21 in Boston, because it's changed a lot from when I was 21, I'm 32 now.
Yeah, but you go out.
I do, yeah, no, I do go, I do. I honestly, like, Envoy Hotel gets forgotten about right down here on Seaport Boulevard, and I still love it. It's still an unreal view. It's a great vibe. It's not overly loud. It's like the perfect rooftop lounge. But if you're newly 21, I mean, guys, people used to go to like Coogan's for their 21st birthday. That place is a fucking shit show. It's like dollar beer still. It's just fucking nuts. But if you're new to going out, like Southie is Southie. It's a lot of bars, like nicer bars. It's fine. It's a residential bar neighborhood. That's totally fine. It is what it is. Tall Ships in Boston, Eastie. You're going to have some fun at. That's cool. The only thing is it closes too early.
When's it close?
Like, it closes at like 1, like 12:31, which is still kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
I like, if you're into clubs, that's different. So like, I like Marielle for a club. I still love the Grand. I love Big Night Live. I do. I think they're both awesome. The Blind Duck, however, in raffles, I'm going to get shit for this, is so far the best place that I've been to in Boston. Raffles is a hotel down on Tremont Street. I think it's by Girl 23.
Mark, I don't want to put this out there because it's too late.
So Raffles, the hotel, apparently, first off, Raffles is such a weird name for a hotel. I'm going to say that right now. Also, if you walk in this place, it's all like Asian themed and designed. Like the Raffles thing has nothing to do with like any of like the theme and the place.
Well, it's a hotel and residency.
Sure. Yeah, right. Exactly. There's brand also new. This restaurant called Amar. It's a Portuguese place. It is the most aesthetically pleasing restaurant in the entire city. The Blind Duck is like this small speakeasy above the Raffles Lounge. It's not big, but like you feel like you're in somewhere very like exclusive and important, and I think it's dope, to be honest with you. It's fucking sick. It's sick. It's fucking really cool.
Really cool spot.
It is. And it's all foreign women too, which is that's right up my alley.
Lebanese women?
There's Lebanese women. There's Albanian women who I also love.
Who are your top three like
female nationalities?
Yes. Oh, this is foof. Oh. Italian girls are always going to be number one. I hate to say it. I know I'm Italian. I hate to say that I'm always going to be like, they're still going to be number one for me. So number three, I guess, is going to be like Taiwanese girls.
Taiwanese,
like
Colombian.
South Asian. Oh.
Italian.
Yes. Right. By the way, thing about South Asian girls, the more of like an old white lady name that they have, the better looking they are.
And that's the podcast right there. Yeah,
that's
Thank you very much.
The
Mark
more
Lewis.
Of an old white lady name they have, the better looking they are. I swear to God. So if you'll meet an Asian girl named Esther, and she's the best looking girl you've ever seen in your fucking life. Judy.
You know what I'm saying? You like the Americanized Asian girls.
Joanne. They have like random like names that like your mom would be friends with.
My grandmother's name was Joanne.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, exactly. Lucy.
It's my girlfriend's name. Calm down.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Hey here, let's go.
What does hey here mean?
Yeah, we never understood that.
Oh, it's just a thing.
It's just
hey here. It's like, hey, all right. Like, hey here. Hey here. That's all it is. Just like, hey here. That's all. It means really nothing.
Okay.
Shout out to Tommy G for like also saying it, by the way. I got him saying it. Yeah.
Got it. I got Tommy saying it.
So I'm going to say South Asian women.
It's third.
Third.
Colombian, Italian.
No, I still love the Lebanese women. The Lebanese women are going to be second.
You can put them at like 2.5.
No, Lebanese women are going to be second. And
Italian.
I don't know if we can put Italian. I think we got to put like the Caribbean, like the Tings. A lot of Tings in the city.
The Tings.
There's a lot of Tings in Boston. You know, Caribbean girls. You know, Trini. For you down in the islands and stuff like that, and they're all fucking dimes. Like it's crazy. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure that in that clip, there is something offensive that you said.
Right now?
Like I don't know. You kind of made a lot of like umbrella like classifications of geographies or where women are from. So I think Tings.
Tings is not a. You think Tings is like an
offensive
thing?
It's just an accent.
It's just what they like. A Ting is like a compliment. If you're a Ting, that's like a big deal.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'm sorry.
A Ting is like a gorgeous girl from like the Caribbean.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
wrong. See, that's funny, huh?
Yeah. That's what I would go with though.
All right.
I'm going to go with
your grandmother's rolling over in her grave right now.
I can't. The Italian girls is too easy of a thing. I can't like, I got,
so that's like this is an alternative to Italian.
1000%. Right. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Exactly. So South Asian girls, Lebanese girls, and
the Tings.
The Tings got to be up there as well. Yeah. The Tings are up there as well for sure. All right. So we also have, can't forget about Albanian women too. You're all insane, but I do love Albanian girls.
Mark just loves women.
Yeah. It brings me a lot of places.
Mark's just a horny fuck.
Sheesh. No, just very respectable. You know what I'm saying? Just very respectful, man. You guys have anything else?
No, that's it.
I'll attend this.
Thank fucking God.
All right, Mark. Thanks for coming through.
Hey, no problem.
We'll see you soon.
Look for Nickel Up everywhere. Coming soon.